You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for your welcome, Darren. It's great to be with you all. So Darren's asked me I'd share a little bit about my testimony. My mother was in labour with my older sister for 59 hours. Can you imagine that? So the doctor advised my parents not to have any more children. God had other ideas. Thank you, Lord. So I'm here today. But can you imagine the thoughts that went through my mother's mind when she discovered that she was pregnant? Can you imagine the fear that gripped her? Will it be the same again? And can you imagine through those sort of 7.5, 8 months when the truth dawned, the worries and the apprehensions and the fear that would have been there? And so it's not surprising that all of that transferred to me in the womb, because we are real human beings in the womb, and we can hear things, we can feel things, we can experience things. Although in some ways it's a very safe place, in another ways it's a very vulnerable place. I was wounded. Not a wound that you can see with your eyes or deal with in medical terms, but an emotional wound, a wound to my heart. And that's why I've given the title this morning, A Healing for the Heart. And if you listen through, I'll tell you something of how God ministered to that. But I want to talk about emotional wounds. And as I say, all sorts of things can happen to us when we're in the womb to cause us problems later on in life. But then if we go to our birth, people can have difficult births. Actually, Helen, my wife, was born with the cord around her neck, and she had to have some prayer for that. Or possibly because of forceps or cord around the neck or whatever, the baby may have to be taken off to the incubator. Now think of that. Here is a child that for 9 months has been really safe and secure in that warm, loving environment of the womb, hearing the voice of their mother constantly, and suddenly they're completely parted from them. This woman has disappeared altogether. There can be deep feelings of abandonment and rejection that may need to be ministered to. Then sadly, people do grow up in situations in families where the parents argue and row and quite possibly split up in due course. We had a young man in our church who had problems with nerves. And so quite often he would feel sick in the morning, hardly able to go to work. And any challenge like an exam was a most enormous problem. And we were praying with him one day, and it came to light that when he came home from hospital with his mother at 5 days old, his parents had a flaming row, and that this had communicated to this five-day-old baby, and the enemy had taken advantage of it to put all of those nervy things upon him. And we were able to pray with him for healing, for release. And we know that God was powerfully at work, because he had an exam the next day and he rang me up excitedly at lunchtime and said, it was all fine. Went to the exam with no problem, got through it, everything's great. That's the power of God to reach to these situations that no number of pills can do anything for. And then, of course, as a result, there are those who have an absent father, either because he's not there at all or because he's not there emotionally. So on this Father's Day, I want to say to you fathers, do your stuff. Talk to your kids. Take an interest in their schoolwork, in their homework. Do things with them. Tell them about Jesus. Teach them to obey. And pray for them. Pray for your family. Those are important, vital responsibilities. Now, some of those wounds are not particularly deliberate. Certainly my mother's wound that was inflicted through here, her fears were not deliberate. But others are. Parents can say some most incredibly negative words to their kids. You'll never be any good. Well, we never wanted you in the first place. You're a waste of space. You'll never amount to anything, and so on. Or right at the other end of that spectrum, favoritism. One child favored over the other. That can inflict wounds on that child as well as the others who are not the favorites. There can be harsh discipline. I remember praying once for a man who, praise God, is now in a position of Christian leadership, but his father had beat him quite severely when he was young, either for very minor offences or for no offence at all. And it was obvious as we talked that this had inflicted a real wound on him. Now, this was at the well. I was praying with him. We always pray with our eyes open so we can see what God is doing. And this man was bent over in prayer. And as I lifted off, in Jesus' name, the shock and the trauma of those beatings, you could see this man physically lift. The burden, the wound had gone because of the power of Jesus. We could spend a long time talking about sexual abuse. And it's obvious that that goes deep. The Lord Jesus can go deeper still. He can go deeper than any counseling on that. We had a lady come to us once who had been raped, and a stranger had accosted her in a dark alley. And she had been to a rape crisis center, I think, for a year and was no better. We brought the situation to Jesus, the deep wounding of that, the trauma of it, the way that the enemy had ridden in on the back of it. And in one prayer session, lasting an hour and a half, 2 hours, God set her free. And we know she did because a few weeks later, there was a small evening service, about 20 of us, and we had a time of testimony. And she stood up and she said to that congregation, "I was raped, but God healed me." That's the power of Jesus to do what secular answers from very loving, well-meaning people very often cannot do. Or again, there's bullying. We've prayed with men who seem to be strong, well-put-together men. And when we started talking or praying about the bullying that they shared with us, then the tears began to flow. And we're not just talking, of course, about bullying at school, are we? It happens at work. And some people have very difficult encounters at work with bosses who bully them. Wounds continue, in fact, throughout our lives. But the ones that happen in our early years tend to be the significant ones. Listen to this. Wounds that happen in our early years go deep and affect us for the rest of our lives. That's really important. And I tell you why it's important. Because many of the problems we have, we think, are part of us, are built into us, have been there from our very earliest moments. And that is not necessarily true. A number of them may be there because of wounds in our early lives, things that God wants to heal and to set us free from. And With God, everything is possible. We can be fatalistic and say, well, that's just the way I am and I'll always be like that. No, God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or even imagine. So we've talked a bit about wounding, particularly in our early years. We need to go on because we often react in sinful ways. And I suppose the big one there, which is very understandable, is unforgiveness. Is there anyone here who has never, ever in their whole lives struggled to forgive someone? No. We all find it difficult, don't we, when people wound us, and perhaps deeply. And yet the gospel is all about forgiveness, and we are a forgiven people. Jesus told a story about a master who obviously had considerable property and assets, and a senior servant of his who was allowed to borrow large sums of money. One day, the master called in the debt, which was probably in our terms into millions of pounds. And the servant said, I can't pay. And he fell down on his knees and he begged him, he said, have mercy on me, give me time and I will pay. And then the master did a most amazing thing. He cancelled that whole debt, just like that, at a stroke. The servant went out, and soon afterwards he met with a servant who lent him a tenner. And he said, you must pay your debt. And the servant said, I haven't got any money at all. I can't pay you back your tenner. And the man, he said, give me time and I'll pay. But the servant who'd been released the large debt said, no. And he took him by the throat, pay it now. And when he couldn't pay it, he had him thrown into debtor's prison. Now, when I hear that story that Jesus told, I get quite angry. I say, how could he? He was released from that debt running into millions of pounds, and yet he wouldn't release his fellow servant from just a tenner. And when I get angry, I realize actually I'm criticizing myself, aren't I? Because as a Christian, my debt to God, if you like, ran into millions of pounds. And yet God had mercy on me and cancelled my whole debt because of Jesus, because of his death on the cross. And so when I hold something against someone who's wounded me, if I refuse to forgive them, then I'm like that man who wouldn't forgive just the £10 debt. God has forgiven me, I must forgive others. He has shown mercy to me, I must show mercy to others. I must choose to forgive because forgiveness is a choice. It's an act of the will. Is there anyone against whom you're holding unforgiveness this morning? God tells you, you have been forgiven. Forgive them. But then there are other things as well. Darren is going to help me at this point. We're going to do a little drama in two scenes. Let's suppose I haven't seen Darren for a long while. I say, Darren, great to see you.
Oh, Morris, it's fabulous to see you. Isn't it the same?
I won't make any comment about that. Scene two, I meet Darren, and I don't know that he's got an enormous bruise that's really tender here under his male, not female, shirt sleeve. Darren, great to see you.
What did you do that for? Come on.
Get the difference? I got an angry reaction from him because I touched a wound. I didn't know the wound was there. And a lot of anger, not all of it, comes because there is a wound that we've touched that goes right back. And so we can respond, not just with unforgiveness, but with attack, not just anger, but criticism. Some people are very negative and critical of everything, and they don't realize that that can be a reaction to wounding. Or we could go on. How about drowning You've heard it said that people drown their sorrows. You can't do that, actually. And alcohol or drugs are not the answer, because if they have a dulling effect, of course, it's only very temporary. I believe we need to ask two questions if someone has a problem with addiction, because you've got to look beneath the surface. Number one, what hurt are you trying to heal with that alcohol or whatever? Number two, what hole are you trying to fill in your life that actually only God through Jesus can fulfill? Another sinful reaction is withdrawal. I'm not going to get near anyone ever again, and then they won't be able to hurt me. Do you know people that you just can't get close to? Or it might be through some sort of inner vow. I will never trust a man again. Need to be careful of those inner vows. God wants us to have relationships with others. We're made for relationship. And the answer is not to put the drawbridge up and cut yourself off. Striving. Do you know people who strive to please others? Everything they do is calculated to please others. Or people who are perfectionists who have to get everything exactly right. There's something going on there. Something that they're trying to prove. And what about, sadly, those many people in this world who are striving to find love through sexual relationships? They have that deep wound in them, that need for love, and they think they're going to find it through sexual relationships. And it doesn't work. Or there's burial, trying to ignore the pain, hoping that it'll go away. But it doesn't. It manifests itself. For example, in an eating disorder. Again, it's no good trying to treat the eating disorder. You need to say, what's the wound that lies behind it for which the person is trying to find healing or make compensation in some way? And let me add one other that's not actually on the screen. Control. Person who's been wounded says, or may say, I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm going to take control of every circumstance so that people can't wound me. And as I have gone on in this healing journey, which has been going on for pretty well 30 years now, I've come to see that that was part of my problem. Not just because of what I shared at the beginning in the womb, but because of other difficult experiences, there was control in my life. And although God has dealt with quite a bit of it, it's still something that He and I are working on together. So we have wounding. We have sinful reactions. Then lastly, we have the enemy. He loves wounds and sins, because it gives him an opportunity to oppress us and to attack us, to spoil our lives. It gives him an opportunity to chain us with invisible chains and put us in bondage of some kind or another. Very interesting verse in Ephesians 4:27. Do not give the devil an opportunity. That's in the church version of the Bible. And it's a military word, meaning don't give him a landing pad. Don't give him a bridgehead. Don't give the enemy an entry point. And you see, wounds and sins give the enemy that landing pad into our lives. And so he takes advantage of that. For example, he may try and tell us all kinds of lies, and I touched on this earlier. Those negative thoughts that keep playing. He says to us, you're no good. You'll never get anywhere in life. You're a failure. Nobody loves you. And so on. Or he sends doubts into our lives about God. And how many people say, well, God doesn't love me. If God loved me, he wouldn't allow this, that or the other to have happened to me. And that's the enemy putting his doubts in us. And we doubt the truth of the Word of God. We doubt the promises of God. We say, well, that's okay for other people, but not for me. And then, too, he sends evil spirits to oppress us. There were spirits of fear in me, not surprisingly, that had to be dealt with. There was rejection. Rejection is so common. And with it, self-rejection. People say, well, if I've been rejected, I can't be a very nice person. So they reject themselves, have low self-esteem. Fear of rejection. If it's happened in the past, it'll happen again. Might be spirits of anger, spirits of lust if a person has sinned sexually, spirits of grief. We ministered to a lady once whose niece had died of leukemia at, I think, age 9. And years later, she was still struggling with that. And we discerned a spirit of grief and, in the name of Jesus, released her from it. And when I see great outpourings of grief, for example, at the death of Princess Diana, but on other occasions of tragedy since then, I wonder how many people need to be released from spirits of grief. So, we have wounds. We can react and do react in a sinful way. And we have enemy activity to bind us in invisible chains. But now the good news. Healing. How did I get healed from all of that? How do we get healed? And the answer is there in those two readings. Isaiah chapter 61, a prophecy about Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him, and he would be anointed by the Spirit to do three things. To preach good news of forgiveness of sins. To bind up the brokenhearted. That is to say, to bring healing to those inner, emotional, invisible, but very real wounds. And to bring deliverance and release to the captives. That's deliverance from all the work of the enemy. That's what Jesus came to do. And that is what he claimed when he preached at the synagogue in Nazareth. He said, today this scripture that I've come to forgive and heal and set free is fulfilled in your hearing. And that is the ministry that Jesus has entrusted to his followers down the last 20 centuries. Because he says, as the Father sent me, so I have sent you. My ministry is the pattern for your ministry. And God wants to fill his people with the Holy Spirit and give them the gifts of the Spirit so that they can minister in the same way. So, very quickly, as we come to a close, there's forgiveness for our sins, purchased by Jesus at Calvary, as we're going to be remembering in a few minutes. But if we're to receive it, we need to confess our sins and not try and excuse ourselves. And you see, with these sins of wrong reaction, it is so easy to try and excuse the other person. It's their fault because they wounded me. If they hadn't done that to me, if she hadn't said that to me, then I wouldn't have reacted in the way that I did. So it's all their fault. Jesus won't allow that. If we confess our sins, not explain them away, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I had to, in a very powerful prayer session nearly 30 years ago, confess where there were sins of wrong reaction. Then secondly, healing for hurts. Healing for the heart. Healing for these emotional wounds. Those who prayed with me asked the Holy Spirit to come and to bring all the healing power of Jesus to that pain that had been there stored within me for such a long time. And it's wonderful when we today pray with people and all that pain begins to come out, the tears begin to flow. We have kept, Helen and I, the tissue business, well funded down the years with boxes of tissues in our home. And it's wonderful when people cry, because that's all the pain coming out, and we should encourage that and not be embarrassed by it. And I, in prayer times down the years, have wept on occasions as Jesus heals my broken heart. This is a different type of praying. It's a type of praying where you ask the Holy Spirit to come and do the work and give him time, and give time for the pain and the tears to come out. And then thirdly, deliverance from the enemy, release for the prisoners. Part of my ministry on that occasion, and I don't remember all the details, was getting rid of the evil spirits that had ridden into my life, spirits of fear and rejection and so on, because of what I'd experienced in the womb. And Jesus has authority over the enemy. He said, come out. And when we say, come out in the name of Jesus, we can know release. But my friends, please, please, let's get a balanced view of evil spirits. They are real. They are there. Let's not ignore them or deny them. But let's not get obsessed by them either. Here is a most wonderful quotation, which I find so helpful. Get rid of the garbage and the rats will leave. Do you get it? The garbage is the wounds and the sins, the means through which the enemy rode in. So get rid of the garbage. Get forgiveness for the sins when the person confesses them. Pray healing for the wounds. And then it should be a simple, straightforward matter to get rid of the rats, to get rid of the evil spirits. So let's have a balance here and be relaxed about the work of the enemy and focus on confession of sin and healing of wounds. So that is how I received release when I was in my 40s, which meant actually that that was a pretty ancient ruin and a place long devastated in my life. And I just love the way that that Isaiah passage that Helen read ends. They, followers of Jesus who are continuing his ministry, will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. So there is hope. You may feel that you've struggled with a problem in your life for many years, but Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, can heal and restore and rebuild and renew. That's what he delights to do. So, removing the shadow of sin. I praise God for all that he's done and is still doing, let me stress, in my life. I praise God that there is healing for the heart in Jesus and freedom from the things that bind us. I praise God that if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.